For 124 years, there was one name that was synonymous with the field of photography. Kodak. That was the company to be or to beat. And they established themselves as an industry leader in 1888 when they created the world's first flexible roll of film. And then they reasserted their dominance in the 1960s when they made photography an affordable hobby. They created the $1 Brownie camera. Some of you may remember those. Kodak was the industry leader, and they had earned that position by innovating and blazing a trail. But then something happened. People stopped buying rolls and rolls and rolls of film. In fact, we stopped buying film almost entirely. The digital age came around and erased our need of it. And a lot of companies caught on to this fact and invested in digital photography, but Kodak chose to stand still. And they were confident that what had worked in the past would continue to work going into the future. And so when the company started to lose money and started to bleed, they tried a lot of different things and made a lot of changes. They reorganized their business strategy. And they had layoffs and they closed factories. They made a lot of changes, except for the one that mattered. They kept relying on film. And that's why in the year 2012, Kodak, after 124 years of dominance, was forced to file for bankruptcy. And I think that the story of Kodak is a modern-day parable that has a lot of lessons to teach us about the dangers of standing still. The reality is that there's only one direction that we can move in this life, and that's forward. Standing still inevitably will result in merely falling behind. And we can apply that lesson to a lot of different facets of our lives, including our spiritual journeys. We're going to continue a series this morning called Fresh, and it's all about the kind of life that God desires for us. He really doesn't desire life to be shallow or meaningless. He desires life to be purposeful, to be meaningful, and in a word, fresh. And he offers us that gift in Christ Jesus. And as we follow him and as we mold our lives around him more and more, we experience the fullness of that fresh life. And it's kind of a journey sometimes finding Christ and following him. Some of us this morning, maybe we started that journey very early and we were raised in church. Maybe some of us have, we walked a bit of a more exotic path and we found Christ a little later in life. And then maybe some of us this morning that are still searching, maybe we haven't accepted Christ yet. The point is we all have this journey that we're on, that we're all moving in a direction. At least we should be moving in a direction. As human beings, there's this natural tendency that we have to just kind of settle into a comfortable place and to stand still. But that's the Kodak principle at play. Standing still really means we're just going to be left behind or we're falling behind. The only real option we have is to move forward in every aspect of life, including our spiritual journey. This morning, that's what we're going to be talking about, why it's so important to get plugged into a healthy church, because a healthy church is going to help us move forward. It's going to make sure that we don't settle in and get left behind in the dust. And to help us understand this concept, we're going to be looking at a passage in the book of Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 28. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you, open them up to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. You can follow along on the screen behind, or better yet, download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device. Matthew chapter 28 is where we're going to be this morning. When we look at this passage, what we're going to read is the last command, the last charge that Jesus leaves to his church. And it's going to sound pretty familiar to a lot of us. It essentially boils down to this principle: help people move forward. Matthew chapter 28 is oftentimes, verse 18 through 20, is oftentimes called something called the Great Commission. It's this last command that Jesus gives to his church, to us, before he ascends to heaven. And seeing as it's the very last command, we can assume that it's probably something that's pretty important and something pretty near and dear to his heart. So let's dig into it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It starts out with a pretty strong statement. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and all authority on earth has been given to me. I own it all. I am in charge. There's nobody higher." which means that this command is what we would call non-negotiable. Because who are you going to negotiate with? He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And his command is very simple. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. And as we start to break this down and the different steps that Jesus kind of lays out in this charge, we start to see this cycle develop. It's a cycle that every spiritual journey will go down. And it starts off at the beginning there in verse 18, go and make disciples. You are here today because somebody listened to this command. Somebody told you about Jesus, or somebody invited you to church, or somebody brought you to church. The whole reason that we're sitting in these chairs this morning is because somebody listened to this command and tried to tell us about Christ. They played a role of moving us forward in this journey. For me, one of those people was my grandmother, my dad's mom. I had a grandma that went to church every single Sunday, even on blizzards and even on bad weather. She was there. And she raised her kids to be at church every single Sunday, which meant that my dad was raised that way, which meant that I was going to be raised that way. We were at church all the time. But on those rare Sundays where we couldn't make it or we didn't come for some reason, you could bet money that grandma was going to call our house that afternoon and say, is everybody okay? Is anybody sick? Because you weren't at church today, I thought maybe something happened. And it was a little annoying at times, maybe, because sometimes grandma, we just had a long night. But that was just her way of making sure that we were continually exposed to Christ. At Christmas time, my grandmother learned really quickly that trying to pick out Christmas gifts for myself and my cousins, it was a fool's errand. And so she just started giving us cash. But grandma didn't want to give us just an envelope because that's not very fun to unwrap. So a lot of times she would tuck cash into like socks or gloves or something. It was a little strange, but that was grandma's thing. But there was one year, it was my freshman year of high school, that it wasn't socks and it wasn't gloves. It was a few dollar bills that grandma tucked into a black leather-bound Bible. And honestly, I didn't ask for a Bible. I didn't really want a Bible that year, but she bought me a Bible. And that cash is long gone. You know, I probably spent it on something pretty dumb. But that black leather-bound Bible has been with me for a really long time. And it's been read a lot, and it's kind of fallen apart at this point. But my life is not, because grandma took the time to make sure that I heard about Jesus and that I was moving forward on my spiritual journey. She was this person in my life, and all of us have somebody like that in our life. They played the role of moving us forward to the point that a lot of us probably accepted Christ in faith. And that's a next step that we see in this command that Jesus lays out for us there in verse 18. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We accept Christ in faith through the waters of baptism. And we go under that water, the old us dies, the new us is raised to a new, fresh life, forgiven, clean. We accept Christ through faith in the waters of baptism. But that's not where the journey ends. Because if you keep reading, there's more. Verse 19, he says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. The expectation is that baptism, accepting Christ in faith, will not be the end of the journey, but rather the beginning. There's this natural expectation that we will grow, that we will develop, that we will mature in faith and in obedience. Because honestly, it's normal for healthy things to grow. In some ways, it's kind of like a little baby. You know, when those babies get here, we love them. They're adorable. It's exciting. This is fresh, new life right here in our hands. But as cute as they are, the last thing we want is for those babies to stay the way that they are. We want them to grow. And we want them to develop. And we want them to mature. Because frankly, if a baby is standing still developmentally, there is something terribly wrong. It's normal and natural to expect the baby to move forward and to grow. And the same is true of us. When we come to faith, there is a natural expectation that we will grow, that we will develop and mature. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be good at it right away. God knows that it's not an easy thing, that there's going to be a bit of a learning curve. Again, if you think about babies, when a little kid is learning how to walk, they don't look good doing it, do they? I mean, they kind of fumble and bumble and trip all over the place, but they are still learning and they're moving forward. And the same is true of our spiritual journey as well. The natural expectation is to move forward and to grow. And that brings us back to the beginning of the passage and why we call this a cycle, because one of the commands that we are to learn to obey is the one we're reading about this morning in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Go and make disciples of all nations. Somebody played a role in your life of moving you forward in your spiritual journey. And part of following Christ is becoming that person in somebody else's life, moving them forward, helping them take their next step, helping them find faith, helping them to grow and mature and develop. It's this cycle that Jesus lays out for us. It's the mission that he's given his church, you and me, move people forward. And here at FCC, we try to capture this cycle and this teaching in Matthew 28 in our mission statement, helping people take next steps towards God together. Now, maybe you didn't know that was our mission statement, but it is. It's been our mission statement since before I got here, and I haven't felt the need to tinker with it because it's really good. It captures this passage perfectly, helping people take next steps towards God together. And we here at FCC want to help people take next steps in a big way. That's why over the next 5 years, by the year 2023, we've committed ourselves to helping people take 10,000 steps closer to Christ. We're not messing around. We want to take this command of Jesus seriously. We want to help people move forward because that's the job that he's given us. And as we announced this vision a couple of months ago, people have taken some steps, but I've gotten a lot of questions from people too, saying, I want to move forward, I want to grow, but I just don't know what my next step is. And so we've been hard at work over the last few months trying to create some sort of visual aid, some sort of tool that would help people take a next step, that they could look at and that they could see immediately, okay, this is where I'm at, and this is what a next step looks like for me. Something that captures this cycle that Jesus describes in Matthew 28. And what we've come up with is this. This is our next steps wheel. It's sort of our compass on our spiritual journey. It starts in the middle there with the question, what's your next step? And from there, we move to the next ring out, and you'll see that there are four kinds of steps. We call them get in, grow up, give back, and go out. Again, that's get in, grow up, give back, and go out. These are the four phrases that capture this cycle that we see develop in our passage this morning, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And this morning, we're going to take some time and break them down a little bit so that we understand what a next step looks like, and so we in this room can identify what our next step might be as we are moving forward in this journey. Because if we're just standing still, the reality is we're falling behind. So we're going to start at the top there with the first one, get in. Just like a clock, we start at the top, get in. And this is really, it stems from what Jesus says in the second half of verse 18, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We want to help people get into Christ because that's where faith begins, and that's where this journey begins. And really, there are three action steps, if you want to move to the outermost ring on our wheel, three action steps that we here at FCC believe people can take to really get into Christ and get started on this journey. The first one's very simple. If you want to take the connection card out of the back seat in front of you, you can follow along maybe a little easier. There's a picture of that on the connection card. I see a lot of people just standing still. That's not a request. Please take the connection card out. Take a gander at it. The first action step on there is gather to worship. Gather to worship. That may not seem like much of a step to some of us, but if you haven't been to church in a long time, or maybe you just started going to church, you know how big of a step this really is. It's not easy to build this habit and this discipline into our lives. I started going back to the gym this past week, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not very good at it, and I don't enjoy it. I don't like getting out of bed early in the morning and going up there, and it's not the exercise that's the hard part. Once I get in the doors, everything's fine. But it's actually getting up and getting out of bed and getting through those gym doors that's difficult. And coming to church is pretty similar in a lot of ways, really. Once you're in here, the hard stuff is done. This is not the difficult part of Sunday morning. In fact, I would wager you're probably going to have an enjoyable experience once you get in the doors. The hard part is getting out of bed and getting through these doors on Sunday morning, especially on a morning like this where it's cold and it's not that icy, but there's just enough on the ground that we could convince ourselves otherwise. You know, there are 100 excuses, there are 100 reasons why we shouldn't get up and come. There's 100 different places we could be or things we could be doing. But the fact is, if we chose to be here this morning, we took a step. So I just want to congratulate you. If this is your difficult challenge, if this is your step, just simply coming to worship, congratulations, you took a step this morning, a step further forward on your journey. But gathering to worship is not just, it's the beginning point, it's not the end point. You know, we're not saved because we come to church. And that brings us to our next action step in the get in circle. We want you to choose Christ. That's where faith should lead us, this decision to follow Christ and accept him. Because through him, we are saved. It's through him that our sins are forgiven. It's through him that we are given this gift of fresh, new, eternal life. And choosing Christ could look like two different things for some of us. For some of us, choosing Christ for the very first time means entering the waters of baptism, dying to ourselves, being raised in this fresh, new life. For some of us, though, maybe we've chosen to follow Christ at one point in our life, but we just fell away for whatever reason. It became less of a priority, or we became estranged from Jesus, and we want to start over and start new. And if that's you, then recommitting your life is that next step of how we choose Christ. This is what Get In is all about. Everything is designed to lead us to this point where we accept Christ into our lives, and he becomes our Lord and our Master. And after we've chosen Christ and we're following him, the next action step in our plan is join FCC. Become a member of this church. Get into Christ and get into a healthy church. It's going to help us move forward. But I want to clarify something this morning. What is a church member? Because there's some unhealthy ideas of what church membership looks like. And frankly, they're a little deceptive and a little destructive. Because there's developed in our culture this idea that being a church member entitles me to certain privileges and perks. And when that happens, church becomes little different from a country club or from the YMCA, both organizations that are great. But being a church member is something different. If we were to look up member in Webster's Dictionary, there's three different definitions of member. The first is to be a part of a specific group. That's the country club. That's not what we are. But the third definition, it's an old definition, archaic is what it's called, is to be a part or an appendage of a body, especially a limb. You see, it's the way that my arm is a member of my body and the way that my leg is a member of my body. I don't really need them, but when they're attached, when they are healthy and functioning the way they're supposed to, my body is capable of exponentially more than I could ever accomplish without them. And that's what it means to be a church member here at FCC. To be a part of this mission of moving people forward, helping them take their next steps towards God together. It means functioning towards this end together, laboring towards this end together. It means that mission becomes my mission. I want to be a part of this, and this is what we're doing and what I'm all about. That's the kind of membership that we want to encourage you to participate in here at FCC. Not to simply sit somewhere on Sunday morning, but to be a part of changing people's lives and moving them forward in this journey. So that's Get In. It's all about getting into Christ, getting into church. That's the first step where the journey begins. If we were to move around, stage directions are different. If we were to move around the clock to our next step, it's something we call grow up. Grow up. Getting in is where the journey begins. Following Christ in baptism is where the journey begins, but that's not where it ends. Because remember, there's this expectation that healthy things will grow, right? Healthy things will grow, and our faith is the same. We're not meant to just be baptized and called today. We're meant to grow and develop and mature and learn to follow the commands of Jesus in our lives. That's what he says in verse 19, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. You know, my son, when he was a little bitty baby, he was supposed to be learning how to roll over. He was about that age. And he was really good at getting on his stomach, but that was about it. He couldn't roll over on his back. And it got to the point where he was supposed to be able to do this like a month ago, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. And my wife and I were starting to get a little worried because we're like, he's not keeping up developmentally. But then my wife had this realization that when was the last time you saw a 27-year-old man on his stomach saying, "Mom, come flip me over"? You know, it's a ridiculous picture, right? Eventually, everybody learns how to do this. Everybody grows, because that's what healthy things do. And we realize our son is healthy, he's going to figure this out. And like the next day, he figured out how to roll over. There's a natural expectation for healthy things to grow, and our faith is the same. Christ expects us to learn how to obey his commands in our lives. And here at FCC, we offer three different action steps for that to take place in our lives. And the first is something called rooted. You probably remember us talking about this at the first of the year. Rooted is a 10-week group experience that we've partnered with hundreds of other churches across the globe to participate in. And Rooted takes the basics of this faith and presents them to us in an action-oriented way, meaning it's not just reading a book, but you're actually going to do something with what you read, and you're going to interact with it in some way. It's a fantastic primer to the commands of Jesus and how to live this Christian life. We're actually going to be completing our first run of Rooted this week. It's kind of an exciting thing. So if you've missed out on the first semester, don't worry. We're going to offer this again in the fall. And if you're excited about that, if something you're interested in, we would encourage you to participate in that. After Rooted, our next action step is something called small groups. We've pushed these before, and we're pushing them still, because small groups are hands down, I think, the most effective way to grow in our relationship with Christ and in our obedience to him, because it impacts our lives in a holistic way. If you need relationships in your life, if you're looking for friendships and people to just fill you with love and joy, small groups are going to give you that opportunity. If you need people that will support you when life gets hard and people that you can support when life gets challenging, small groups will give you that opportunity. If you're looking for a group of people to learn with and learn from, small groups will give you that opportunity. They're a fantastic tool that give us the opportunity to put into practice the teachings that Jesus gives us. Small groups, small groups, small groups. Have I said that enough this morning? One more time. Small groups are something we all need to look into. And maybe you're saying, hey, I tried small groups before. I'm not really a fan of it. I don't really think that's true. And I'll be honest here. When I say some of us, I'm pretty much talking to the guys. Because women are pretty much wired to like relationships in groups. Guys, we're a little different. We're a little more tight buttoned, a little more bottled up, you know. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really think we mind small groups, because chances are you already have a kind of small group in your life. You probably have a group of people that you get together with, maybe to have dinner with, or to watch ball games with. You know, maybe you go fishing with. Maybe you have cookouts or bonfires with. I'm willing to bet that most of us probably have a group of people that we enjoy being around. We have a small group of sorts. What I think we really mean when we say that is, I don't like talking about my faith with other people. I don't like letting them into that personal part of my life. And if that's you, then maybe your grow-up step is to start talking about that part of your life. Maybe that's the next step in your journey, is learning to share that with other people and discuss that with other people. Small groups give us the opportunity to do that. So if you're in the Rooted, if you've gone through that, if you're plugged into a small group, we offer one more grow up action step that you can take, something called grow classes. And these are for people that want more information, that want more knowledge and more understanding. We offer those during the 9:30 hour on Sunday morning, usually during Sunday school time. We will offer grow classes at different times, though. For instance, in the fall, we're offering a financial course that's going to teach us some basic biblical principles on money, money management, and how to please God with how we use our wealth. It's going to be a very, I think, informative time and potentially a powerful time in people's lives. I've gone through it myself. It's been very helpful and influential in my life. So these are the kinds of things that grow classes offer us, chances to grow up and develop. So right now, I want you to take your connection cards out. We're going to take a break here, and I want you to look at them. Look at that wheel, and think about where you are right now. Do you need to get in to church, into Christ, into FCC? If you do, indicate on that wheel. You can put an X through it. You can color it in, draw little flower petals around the circle. Whatever the case, just let us know somehow what your step is, or if you need to grow up in some way and move forward in that direction. Maybe it's rooted. Maybe it's a grow class. Maybe it's a small group. Indicate that. Again, you can shade it in. You can draw a smiley face through it. Just however you choose, indicate on that wheel how you want to grow up and move forward. And make sure you turn that in to the lobby desk before you leave, because we want to help you take that step. We want to help you get in. We want to help you grow up. And then we want to help you move to the third step, which is give back. Sometimes when we think about Jesus' commands, you know, he says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Sometimes we limit that to morals and to virtues and things like that. But Jesus actually has a lot to say on practical aspects of our lives. And one of the most common things that he talks about, this principle that he and the New Testament authors both discuss, is something called stewardship. Stewardship is basically faithful use of the resources and treasures that God has given you. And I'll just tell you from personal experience that learning how to be a good steward of these things will be just as, if not more, impactful on our faith journey than any class or group that we participate in. Learning to be a good steward will move us forward in this journey. Jesus says something interesting in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 34. It's something you probably heard before. He says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." There your heart will be also. It's something we've probably heard before, but it's a powerful truth and teaching when we stop to break down what that means. It's a way of understanding that how we spend our treasures, in this case we're talking about time and money, how we spend these things reveals the truth about where our heart really is. It's a good gauge on where our priorities are. For instance, if somebody were to say to you, "Family is my number one priority," I'm going to give you a little insight in my mind. I'm supposed to be revealing these things as we go, and I have completely forgotten. Don't tell anybody. Stewardship. All right, so if somebody says to you that family is my number one priority, you would expect their schedule to probably reflect that in some way, right? Like, maybe they're going to have vacation time marked out, or maybe they're going to have evenings marked out and blocked off. People don't interrupt this because family is my main priority. But what if you look at their schedule and you don't see that? And instead you see a lot of personal appointments, or you see a lot of engagements with friends, or a lot of social outings with other people, but you don't really see a lot of family time dedicated in their schedule. Are you going to believe that family is really their number one priority? It's going to be a tough sell, right? Because the numbers don't lie. Where your treasured time is, there your heart will be also. Or we'll take money, for instance. If somebody says, "I really love God. I love participating in what God is doing. I love being a part of the church. I really love God." You would expect their finances in some way to reflect that, right? But if you look at their checkbook and you see that that month they spent $50 on coffee at McDonald's and $700 at the mall on new clothes, and they spent $200 that month on the extreme sports package from their cable provider, and then they threw a 20 in the plate one Sunday, does that really reflect a heart that really loves God? And it's not to say there's anything wrong with that stuff, and it's not to say that dollars equals devotion. What we're saying here is where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How we treat our treasure, how we steward them, should match up with where our heart really lies. If we really are devoted to God, if we really are devoted to our family and so on, time and money will reflect that. And we here at FCC want our hearts focused on God. We don't want our hearts to be led astray by materialism. We don't want our hearts to be caught up in selfish ambition or vain conceit or any of the other Bible-y words that Scripture uses to describe self-centeredness. We want us to be moving forward in this relationship with him, and that's why we encourage people to give back. It's one of the commands of Jesus. And there are two action steps that we can take this morning to help people give back. One is ministry teams, giving back our time. We said earlier, you are here this morning because somebody invested in your life and moved you forward. Ministry teams are an opportunity for you to give back and play that role in somebody else's life. Maybe you have this gift of teaching. We want you to teach. Maybe you enjoy working with kids. We are going to give you a background check, and then we're going to let you work with kids. Maybe you don't like to teach. Maybe you hate kids. That's okay. Some people do for some reason. But maybe you really like to paint. We have a lot of walls that get scuffed up and messed up because we love kids here, and we let them kind of run around. Or maybe you like to mow. We've got this big field over here. We like to mow and keep looking nice so that people think that this facility is nice, that they want to come back, and so that they don't think of us as that one church next to the shabby-looking field. You know, we kind of laugh at that maybe, but there was one guy, he's a Warren Achievement client. He's actually going to come here this next week and take a walk around because he just enjoys being in churches. And he refers to this place as the pretty church. He wanted to come to the pretty church. You know why he thinks this is the pretty church? It's because a lot of people take their time to make sure it looks that way, to make sure it's inviting, to make sure that people want to come through these doors. There are a lot of things that need to happen here in order for us to move forward in this mission of helping people take next steps towards God together. Way too many things for just the 6 staff members here to take care of on their own. Not if we want to accomplish this mission and actually succeed. And that's why we need you to give back some of your time. One of the other action steps that we can take involves our finances. It's tithing. And tithe, if you're not familiar, it's a term that means to give 10%. And some of us, when we hear that, we nod our heads because we know exactly what we're talking about here. And other people, you hear 10% and you're saying, whoa, no wonder you need financial courses in the fall. That's a big percentage. And it may be hard to wrap our heads around how somebody could possibly give 10%, but I'm going to tell you, somebody that's been doing this since 16 years old, it's also hard to tell you how rewarding it is, because this money doesn't just go to keep the lights on, it's changing people's eternities. It's moving people forward in their relationship with Christ. It's helping them get into new life. It's helping them grow up and mature. This is a rewarding thing, and that's why we encourage you to give back financially. And that leads us to our final step this morning. I'm going to remember this one. Our final step this morning is go out. This worked a heck of a lot better in practice. Go out. Go out is the last step in this cycle. And it is a cycle because when we get to the go out point, we've gotten in, we are in the process of growing up, we are actively giving back, and now it's time to go out and be that active agent of moving other people forward the way that Jesus commanded us in Matthew 28. And there are a couple of ways that we would encourage you to consider doing this. The first is called community care, and that simply means just love your city. Whether you live in Monmouth, you live in Kirkwood, you live in Little York, you live in Roseville, wherever you live, just love your community. Volunteer. Help keep it looking nice and clean. Love your neighbor. Be that person in your neighborhood that people come to for help because they know you care. That's a fantastic way to go out and share the love of God with other people. Some other steps that we can take, the next one is invite. Invite people to church. We want people to get in. We want people to find Christ, to have this relationship. And the easiest way for people to get in is to invite them in. We work really hard to make sure that every Sunday morning is an engaging experience, you know, barring a few mishaps with the sheets. But we work hard to make sure that that's true so that when people come in, they have a good time and they're welcome. Just invite people. That's an easy way to go out and to help people take a next step. In fact, some of you have had questions, you know, why aren't we having a typical Good Friday service this year? Why are we doing this virtual service or this video? The reason that we're doing that largely is because we want to make sure Easter is a phenomenal experience on Sunday morning. Unchurched people are not going to come to Good Friday service, but a lot of them will come on Sunday morning. And we care enough about lost people, and we care enough about helping them get in that we want to make Sunday morning as powerful an experience as we can, so that they almost don't have a choice but want to come back and to take their next step. So that's why we're doing that. And you can play a role in inviting them on Easter Sunday. Last action step that we would encourage you to consider is to have Jesus conversations. It's one thing to invite people to church, but hearing somebody's story, hearing how Jesus has impacted their life, is one of the most powerful things that somebody could possibly hear, because now it's not just an invitation to church and it's not just some distant religion. This is something I'm looking at in the face. This is somebody's story and their personal experience. And it could be my experience too. This past month, the month of March, 16 different Jesus conversations have taken place from people in this church. And that's not the largest number that we've had since we started this journey of leading people forward, but I'll tell you, it's the most exciting for me because every single one of those people who had one of those conversations hadn't done it before. These are 16 people who are having conversations that are taking a step and going out and getting active, trying to bring people to Christ. That's an exciting thing. And you could be one of those people too if you share your story with others and talk about Christ. So go out is where our cycle concludes. At the end of the day, there are a lot of reasons why people think that the church exists. You know, some people think that it exists to provide moral teaching and programs for kids. And there's a part of that that's true, but as a whole, that doesn't capture our purpose. And some people believe that the church exists to be a charity or to offer counsel or comfort, and there's part of that that's true as well. But that's not our purpose either. And some people think that the church exists to provide services or to provide opportunities for church people to gather, and there is part of that that's true. But together, that's not our purpose either. If you want to know why the church exists, you simply need to look at the words of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That is our purpose, to move people forward. That's why we exist, and that's why we've been hard at work developing this stuff. And we would encourage you, take that connection card out right now and consider, what is my next step? If you need to get in, mark the box. If you need to grow up, mark the proper action step. If there's a giving back that you want to start participating in, maybe you want to get involved with a service here at church, maybe you want to begin tithing, but you just got questions about it, mark that. We'll be happy to help you out. If you want to go out and you want to say, hey, I'm going and having these conversations, I'm inviting people to church, mark that and let us know so that we can celebrate and encourage other people to go out as well. We are a church, and this is our purpose and our mission, to help people take next steps towards God together. We invite you to come along on this mission and be a part of what we're doing here, because it's what Jesus commands. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the opportunity just to gather, to be reminded of our purpose, to be reminded of the cause you called us to. And I pray that as we reflect on our own journeys, that you would help us see what a next step looks like, that we would take that step in obedience, that we would develop and mature and grow, that we would go out and help others to take that step as well. And that through the efforts and the labors of this body, that you would be pleased, that you would be praised, that your church would grow and thrive and flourish, and that lives would be changed. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.